$80 to $90 billion. That's the market valuation ride-hailing app Uber is aiming for when it lists shares on the stock market, according to Reuters sources, who said Uber plans to unveil terms for its initial public offering on Friday. Uber is on track for one of the biggest tech IPOs and the largest since Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba listed shares in New York in 2014.
A warning signal on the global economy from international manufacturing conglomerate 3M. The maker of Post-it notes and Scotch tape posted first quarter profits that were way below analyst forecasts, cut its outlook for the year, and announced it's laying off 2,000 workers. The cause, according to CEO Mike Roman, slowing conditions in key markets. Sales were down across all major regions, with the U.S. barely eking out a gain. The stock tumbled as much as 11% in response.
Amid the overflow of streaming services, there's a more unlikely internet company looking to get in on the action. Airbnb, the San Francisco startup for booking home rentals around the world, has ambitions of developing video content, according to a Reuters exclusive. Airbnb is already building its team to lead the effort. Kim Kingsley, co-founder of news site Politico, joined last summer and is in charge of the firm's content strategy.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's April 26th, 5:10 in the morning. Thank you again for tuning in for The Opening Bell this morning, our Friday edition. Another business day getting underway, but we're wrapping up the week, and that's good news. Our regular Friday crew is here today. Some really important conversations coming up this morning. First, Paul Nolte will kick things off at about a few minutes from right now. We'll talk about our portfolios. There's some economic news as well that we'll hit this morning. And a little bit later in the program, Brian Summers from Skift.com will be here. Some aviation and airline business news. United Airline is giving its planes a new paint job. We'll talk about what's behind the new look at the hometown airline a little bit later at about 5:38 this morning. And, of course, we'll continue to cover the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports as we move forward in this hour today. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, the trading week is winding down on Wall Street after stocks closed mixed yesterday due to sagging 3M shares. You heard in the opening montage, the company concerned about slowing economic growth globally, cutting nearly 2,000 jobs, following news of the company's earnings were lower than anticipated. Shares of 3M dropped more than 13%. 3M being watched this morning as well. The NASDAQ was boosted, though, by strong quarterly earnings from Microsoft and Facebook. And so there is some good news, bad news from the markets this week. And again, we'll hit that with Paul in a little bit. The futures market this morning shows some weakness heading to the opening bell. Dow futures are down about 24 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures look to be a little flat this morning. In Europe, markets are mixed. In London, higher. In France and Germany, or I should say in London, lower. And in France and Germany, higher. In Asia, markets are generally mixed as well. The Nikkei is going to end down about 0.25%. The Hang Seng is up about 0.25%. The Shanghai down nearly 1.25%. And oil in the U.S. is at $64.12 a barrel, down nearly $1.09. Some headlines as we begin this morning. Amazon says it's replacing free two-day shipping with free one-day shipping for its Prime members. Amazon's chief financial officer made the announcement during the company's first quarter earnings call. No date has been announced for the launch, but the CFO says it'll take a significant amount of time to achieve. Amazon plans to spend $800 million in the next quarter to make that transition to improve warehouses and delivery. Because of the large investment, Amazon predicts its earnings will drop below expectations next quarter. Prime members already get one-day shipping for certain products. Amazon says it will make it the rule and not the exception. You also heard in the opening montage, Uber, the IPO of Uber, getting closer, will unveil terms for the initial public offering today. The ride-hailing company expected to tell investors that it'll be valued at between $800 and $90 billion. At least that's what it will seek to be valued at. Sources are saying that Uber will unveil an IPO price range between $44 and $50 per share, making it the largest IPO since Alibaba in 2014. Uber has declined to comment on the report. Paul Nolte is here this morning from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul's an SVP and Senior Portfolio Manager at Kingsview and a regular Friday guest here in the Opening Bell. Paul, good morning. Happy Friday.
Good morning, Steve. Welcome to the last Friday of the month.
Yeah, and we look back on a pretty good month of April in terms of what we have perhaps gained in our portfolio.
No, we have. It's been really a very good year. When we look at the weekly closes, I think we've been down 3 weeks since Christmas. And one of those weeks, I think it was down less than a quarter of 1%. So it's been a very, very good first third of the year for equity investors. And looking at client portfolios, those that are balanced have about half of their money in bonds and half in stocks. They're up anywhere between 7 and 9%, and that's actually a pretty good year that we've gotten so far. So it's going to be now, and I think what's happening here in the markets, and I think they're trying to look forward a little bit and go, okay, what's next? What's going to push this market significantly higher, or what's going to derail the rally? Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we're seeing kind of a mixed bag here in the way the markets are trading, especially this week.
Well, I want to ask you to pull out your crystal ball and ask the question, what do you think are the answers to those questions?
You know, I think we're going to struggle going forward. Certainly the expectation is we're going to get a deal with China. That will help some, but it's going to take a while for the global economy to get going. We're seeing a few signs here and there that industrial production and capacity is picking up a little bit around the world. But the United States really, for the most part, is the best shirt in a dirty laundry right now. And that's part of the reason why the dollar is so strong, and that will have an impact on earnings going forward. So we very well could be toward the high end of the range for this year. I'm not saying the market's going to crash, but I'm saying that, take the profits that we've got here and maybe reallocate a little bit, maybe a little bit away from technology, maybe into some of the beaten down healthcare areas of the market, and maybe into bonds as well, even though interest rates are low and people are saying, well, gosh, we should be raising rates. Doesn't look like we're going to be doing that anytime soon either.
Are you seeing any answers to potential questions in the earnings calls that we've had over the past week or so?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because you mentioned 3M, we had UPS, and those were not up to expectations. And then when we look at the technology area, the semiconductors, which tend to be the front end of all things technology, because those are really the guts for everything that we do in the technology sector, they've come in poor. Intel yesterday, Xilinx, there have been some others that have reported, Texas Instruments, that haven't been all that good. And I think most of them have cited just a slowing in not only the U.S., but global demands. And I think some of that was front-end loaded last year when we had the tax cuts and we had the beginnings of the tariff talk. Everybody was going out and buying and stockpiling a lot of stuff. Now they're working those off. So we'll have to see how the back end of the year comes in, if the demand really is there for those chips and such. But what we're seeing from a lot of companies, they're talking down not only the U.S. economy, but the global economy. And that, again, is a concern for earnings going forward.
One of the earnings calls that I was paying attention to this week, because we did something on it yesterday in the program, was Facebook. They're preparing for a $3 to $5 billion fine, perhaps, by the FTC. But on the flip side of that, they're printing money at that company. Their revenues were higher. Their daily, monthly user counts have jumped higher. Is that one of the tech stocks we should avoid? Or
no? I have a trouble with Facebook, Spotify, and some of the other social media companies. Mm-hmm. Because of the FTC and some of the other issues. We're seeing some people that are going away from social media. Some of the people are realizing that having everything out on the internet and out globally is an issue for security purposes and otherwise. You're right in the fact that people are still using it. They are still growing their base. Their revenues are up significantly. From an investor's perspective, it's a little bit on the expensive side. It's not as cheap as it used to be. We're seeing some growth slowing a little bit from its very rapid ascent, and that's normal as companies start to mature a little bit. For us, we're a little more interested in companies that actually pay a dividend, so we tend to screen out a lot of those companies. So we tend to be a little bit more a value player, if you will, as opposed to maybe an all-out growth player. But there's, again, from an investor's perspective, we have some issues with security, et cetera, around Facebook, hence the reason for the very large fine that they could be in line for.
Paul, talking about some economic data as our conversation continues here, GDP for the first quarter is due out today.
It is, and what we're expecting is something around the 2% level. I think some of the risks might be that the GDP moves a little bit higher than expectations based on trade, as well as the industrial production numbers and capacity numbers that we've got, the durable goods orders that we got early in the first quarter. But as we talked about in the last segment, when you listen to a lot of the companies talking, it's slowing coming into the second quarter. So a lot of the strength in the economy was January, February, and that's tailing off here the last couple months. So we would expect that if it does print a 2%, that may be the high end, and we may see that revised lower as we get closer to mid-year.
If you compare this to the fourth quarter of 2018, it was 2.2% growth, 3.4% in the third quarter of last year. So 2% is a big jump down.
It is. And it's, you know, our expectation based on the demographics, based on, production for workers and everything else that we see, probably 2% is about the speed limit for the United States. And that's going to be a trouble for not only the administration, but also for the markets as a whole. Global growth has slowed down significantly over the last couple of years. And until we get China really moving around, and they're really at the margin, the biggest player in the global economy, it's going to be hard for us to see significantly higher growth. And part of the reason why we're a little bit concerned about the equity markets getting kind of ahead of the curve, if you will, and maybe getting a little bit further out over their skis than maybe they should at this point.
The first-time claims for unemployment benefits popped yesterday, nearly 30,000. Is that a one-off, or is that something we should watch?
It could be a one-off because of the Easter holiday moving around. And when we take a look at it, we look at it on a year-over-year basis. So right now, it's higher than it was a year ago at this time, which is a little bit of a concern, still at extraordinarily low levels. But it is something that, you know, again, from a week-to-week basis, this is one of our indicators that we look at for the unemployment numbers when those come out in another week. It's one of those inputs that we look at, and there's some risks that maybe we see a little bit lower unemployment, jobs gains, I should say, next week.
We've also been watching oil prices. I mentioned in the opening, as we looked at the markets this morning, in the U.S., oil down about $1 a barrel, but it's still $64.23, and around the globe, still pretty high. What is the takeaway from the oil story?
The oil story is going to have some impact on the consumer price index. We'll see that show up in the numbers over the next couple months. Obviously, we're seeing it at the pump now with oil pretty much all over the place around the Chicago area, well over $3 a gallon. And that does have an impact on consumers and their attitudes toward spending. If I'm taking that much more to fill up my tank, I'm going to be spending less on other things. I think if you talk to Fed officials, their comments about oil and their impact on inflation is that it will be transitory, that it will not be here permanently. Our view is energy prices are probably destined to come down a little bit over the next 6 months or so. We don't see demand really picking up again because the economy is a little bit slower than we would anticipate at this point. So we can see some of that coming off. The wild cards, obviously, Venezuela and the trade deal with Iran and Iraq, mm-hmm. and what's happening with that. And that's having a temporary impact on, I think, a temporary impact on the oil market.
So here at the end of the week, if we had some extra cash in our pocket, is there anything out there that you like? What would be your move moving into the weekend?
Donuts is always good.
Always,
yeah.
Good.
I think, you know, when you're taking a look at the markets, as we talked about earlier, I think you do want to have some money in the equity markets, but we're taking a little bit of money off the table given the huge run that we've seen in stocks. We look at the first 4 months of the year as being really a very good year overall. and probably should be taking some profits here and banking them in the bond market, short-term bonds for a little while. So again, what we do like in the markets, we still do like the international, even with the stronger dollar. They've hurt a little bit here, but that's really, I think, from a long-term perspective where some of the value is. I think short-term bonds, short to intermediate-term bonds, treasuries especially, will give us a little bit of a cushion if the markets decide they want to go down 3 to 5% over the next 6 to 10 months or so, or 10 weeks or so. So again, we're not super excited about the equity markets and very willing to take a step back and wait a little bit to see how some of the rest of the earnings and economic numbers come out here.
All right, Paul, how can people get a hold of you and have a conversation one-on-one?
Yeah, if they want to get a hold of me and we can chit-chat on their own portfolio and what they should be doing in the markets, they can email me at pnolte, N-O-L-T-E, at kingsviewam.com.
Have a great weekend, sir.
Enjoy. Thank you.
I'm Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul's an SVP and Senior Portfolio Manager there with us every Friday here on The Opening Bell.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. United Airlines is giving its planes a new paint job. And we want to talk a little bit about that and some other aviation airline business news this morning with Brian Summers from Skift.com. Brian is Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift and joins us this morning via Skype from Los Angeles. Brian, let's begin with United. A little bit of a different paint job coming out of some of the hangars this week.
Yeah, Steve, on Wednesday, United Airlines unveiled a new paint job, which is probably not something that excites that many travelers. Folks like me who follow it closely go, though, get pretty giddy about it. United is updating what is essentially a 27-year-old design. People may know that its current paint job started flying in 1991 on Continental Airlines. And then when the two airlines merged in 2010, instead of coming up with something new and fun, the airline just reverted to the old Continental paint. So now it's 2019. United wants to refreshen its brand image. There were a lot of folks that thought United maybe should start anew, completely fresh. United didn't do that. They're still using a lot of elements of the old design, but the airplane is going to be very, very blue. So people may know that the current paint job has a lot of gold in it. Gold is kind of like an early 1990s color. United's going big on blue. They have various shades of blue here. They have some corporate speak going. So they call it Rhapsody Blue, United Blue, and Sky Blue. Not really sure what that means, Steve, but it does mean that there's, again, a lot of blue. The word United is much larger than it used to be. The engines are going to go from gray to blue. But generally, United is calling this an evolution, not a revolution. Lots of people have opinions on this. Our listeners will probably have to see it for themselves before they can decide. But to me, it looks fine.
Yeah, Rhapsody thing, it might be a draw on the song Rhapsody in Blue that United made famous, right?
Absolutely, Steve. That's exactly what it is.
One of the interesting parts of this is they're at least keeping the globe on the tail. I've seen this picture that's been out there circulating on social media, and it seems like that's one of the design features that they are keeping.
They are keeping the globe, Steve, and it's sort of interesting. Again, this is inside baseball. Continental used a globe as its logo since 1991. United, people may know, since the 1970s, used basically a stylized U that looked a little bit like a tulip. People called it the tulip. There are lots of folks in Chicago, especially because that's United's hometown, that were hoping that United would bring back the stylized U, the tulip, leave these Continental Airlines days in the past. United chose not to do that. It looks like the tulip, sadly, is dead, and the globe lives on. But I guess time marches on.
Yeah, and I know this is inside baseball, but it's interesting because one has to wonder, since Oscar Munoz, the CEO, talks about this being an evolution, if more things might be coming at United, either in decoration or things, you know, behind the scenes or in front of the scenes that people might see.
Yeah, I mean, in truth, Steve, a lot of the changes have already happened. Frequent flyers probably won't be all that surprised by United's new paint job, and that's because the paint job looks a lot like what we've seen going on at airports for the last 3 or 4 years. So airport by airport, as United has renovated, they've gotten rid of a lot of the gold. They've brought out a lot more blues. And so if you go to O'Hare and you look at the gates and the boarding areas, you'll see branding that looks a lot like what is on this airplane. Same thing goes for, say, the new Boeing 777-300, an airplane United started taking delivery of about 2 years ago. Doesn't have a lot of gold on the inside. It looks like the new livery on the inside, and pretty soon it'll look the new way on the outside. So, you know, United is saying out with the gold, in with the blue.
There you go. Brian, there's another story today about Allegiant Airlines seeking permission to fly to Mexico. Why should we be interested in this?
Well, Steve, if you live in downtown Chicago, maybe you should not be interested. But Allegiant is an ultra low cost carrier. They're very cheap, and they take people from smaller U.S. cities into popular vacation destinations. So they'll fly to Las Vegas, they'll fly to Phoenix, they'll fly to the Orlando area. Allegiant has been growing pretty quickly in recent years, and they've decided, hey, you know what, if it works in Florida, maybe it'll work in Cancun, maybe it will work in Puerto Vallarta. Again, as we say, they're not going to go to Midway, they're not going to go to O'Hare, but they do look at some interesting airports maybe outside of major cities. So one of the airports that I think they could be interested in, believe it or not, is Chicago-Rockford. We would probably just call it Rockford Airport, but the official name is Chicago-Rockford. That would be a kind of a good market for them, right? It's a small airport in a relatively small place, but it's an international airport, and people might get very excited if they could, you know, stay in Rockford and fly from Rockford nonstop to Cancun and then back rather than driving all the way to O'Hare. And guess what? The fares would probably be cheaper than on, say, United or American. So, you know, it's not going to help a lot of people in the Chicago area, but on the margins, it's going to be an interesting move to see them going down to Mexico.
Yeah, and here's a question about perhaps other airlines that fly to Mexico will lower their fares to compete. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I doubt it, Steve. You know, Allegiant is such a niche airline that it's not a major threat, say, to United, American, Delta. The big airlines will usually let Allegiant just go in, lower fares, take people from Rockford to Orlando and not bother matching. So I don't think that this is going to spur a giant fare war and traveling, say, from O'Hare to Cancun or, you know, Los Cabos in Mexico is going to be cheaper than ever. I think you're probably going to have to fly Allegiant if you're going to get a deal. I don't think that there's going to be a spillover effect.
Another really cool story that I like this week, Brian, you were reporting on autonomous vehicles at airports. And I know it's been, you know, a half a century since we saw the People Mover come into existence. Are we going to see more things moving around autonomously at airports?
Yeah, Steve, I think we probably will. It might take 5 or 10 years. I mean, the first thing to understand is that there's basically two parts of the airport, what we call the land side and the air side. The land side is where you drive up to O'Hare, you let people off, that sort of thing. The air side is everything that happens on the airfield. My story focused on the airfield. So I think within a decade or so, we might see things like driverless baggage tractors, maybe shuttles to remote gates, or even snowplows for runways. I think the idea here is that the airport is a pretty controlled environment. So if you take something like an autonomous snowplow, when airports plow the runway is usually closed, and then the plows go in a straight line, right? And so, you know, you don't have to worry about other cars on the road, things like that. Even baggage tractors will probably work, right? Because they have a pretty defined path. They go from the airplane to the terminal and back. I think airports and airlines would like to see this happen because, as people know, labor is very expensive. So you could probably save money on that sort of thing. Now, let me give you the obvious counter argument, Steve. Autonomous vehicles could be dangerous, right? What if a driverless vehicle, say, hits an airplane? It could cause a catastrophe, or it could cause just some damage. You know, these things are possible. There's things that people are looking at. But I have to remind you and the listeners, this comes up all the time, right? No matter where it is, humans aren't the best drivers either. And I think more often than people think, human drivers on the airfield do hit airplanes. It's usually at very slow speed. It's not that big of a deal, but it does happen, right? A catering truck will ram an airplane by mistake. The airplane will have to go out of service. So the question is, you know, is it really that much worse to have driverless cars? I think probably not. It's not imminent, but I think someday we may see it.
Yeah, and some of the early use cases, I mean, there's one that you write about this in your story at Heathrow Airport in London. British Airways was testing some driverless tugs. The significant pushback-related delays are worth taking note of.
Yeah, British Airways is testing these things called Molotovs. They're those pushback tugs that push the airplane backward. They're actually remote controlled by a human, but obviously a human can work on multiple gates at once. British Airways says that they're really efficient, and they're also much more precise drivers than humans. And they say that pushback delays have fallen by 53%, which frankly seems a lot to me. But next week, I'm interviewing British Airways CEO in London, so maybe I'll ask him about it and find out how it could possibly be 53%.
All right, Brian, great conversation. Thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Brian Summers is Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift at Skift on Twitter and skift.com. And follow Brian, too, at Brian Summers on Twitter. And sign up for the weekly airline innovation report from Skift delivered to your inbox at skift.com/airline.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a flat open on Wall Street a little bit later this morning. Dow futures are down about 22 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are mixed. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities this morning. Orion Samuelson is with us. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning to you. And if you're going to be a trader in lean hog futures at the Mercantile Exchange, you'd better have a strong constitution, because we've had limit up days, we've had limit down days a great deal over the past month or so, Steve. And yesterday was a down limit day. Lean hog contracts, the five nearby contracts, all down, the $3 per hundredweight daily limit. Reason? Disappointment over sales, export sales, particularly to China. There is a feeling that they're going to be importing a lot of pork because of the hogs that have been killed by the African swine fever. But for the week ending April 18th, we only shipped 15,500 tons of pork, but that included no new sales in China. And China canceled sales of about 200 tons. One trader said, in hogs, it's the export sales today that didn't happen. Meanwhile, grain trade overnight, we're looking at prices that are a little higher at the Board of Trade. July wheat is up 0.75 cents, July corn up a penny, and July soybeans down 3.5 cents in the overnight trade at the Chicago Board of Trade. So, did get some word, Steve, that corn planters were rolling in parts of northern Illinois this week, but not a great deal. When we got the planted acreage reports on Monday, very little of the nation's corn had been planted, only 6%. So it'll be interesting to see when we get the report coming up Monday afternoon if indeed we did get much of the crop in the ground this past week.
And Orin, we saw some activity yesterday. I don't know if you were watching this situation up in Beach Park, and it sort of highlights the ongoing danger of farming. We had 30 or 40 people taken to the hospital after this ammonia leak. How often does that happen? Is this a rarity, or what will be investigated up there, do you think?
I don't know. It is a rarity. I can't remember the last time we had that kind of a leak that affected that many people. But anhydrous ammonia is an important ingredient in fertilizer for the crops that will be going in the ground this spring. But I can't remember the last time I heard of an anhydrous ammonia spill such as the one we had yesterday.
We, of course, also, it seems like a broken record, keep talking every week about possible the deal with China. That seems to be still on the table, but some movement again this week.
Yeah, nothing happened. They keep saying we're making progress. Now they have got meetings scheduled in Beijing and then back in Washington over the next 2 or 3 weeks. So they keep working on it. But frankly, Steve, I'm getting a little tired of the statements we're making progress, because we're certainly not seeing the results of that progress yet, and we're getting into planting time, and farmers like to have a little better idea of the demand for the crop that'll be coming up this summer.
Absolutely. What's on the morning show tomorrow?
Well, I tell you what, spring is definitely here. A lot of our listeners say when Jim Fazell comes on the Saturday morning show to talk gardening, we know that winter is over and spring is here. And Jim will be here tomorrow to talk about things that you can do and you should do. It's been activity around Earth Day and Earth Week and, of course, Arbor Day this weekend. And if you have a chance, go out and plant a tree, because as Jim said, and we'll say tomorrow morning, we had a lot of trees in our landscape centuries and years ago. But if we don't plant them every year, we're not going to have trees. So if you have a chance to plant a tree for Arbor Day, by all means, go out and do it.
All right. Good advice. Orion, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Of course, we'll be listening to the morning show tomorrow morning, bright and early at 5 o'clock right here on 720 WGN. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook. For this Friday, it's the 26th of April on the calendar today. Of course, we have GDP numbers coming out. We'll see those at about 8:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 Chicago Time. We'll also get a look at consumer sentiment today. Of course, the number of earnings reports continue as well as we move into Friday on the calendar today. Number of those companies will continue reporting earnings, including a couple of big ones. I think yesterday we saw Amazon and Starbucks, and the list will continue today. Also, for the weekend, as we move into the weekend, we'll be watching and sort of rehashing some of those, regurgitating some of those big stock numbers from this week from the likes of Boeing and Tesla. So a good weekend to kind of look back on your portfolios as well.